Hi, and welcome to Common Denominator. My guest today is Chris Sage, aka the Herbal Chef. Chris not only has healthy eating tips to help you during the holidays, but he'll share the benefits of infusing ancient plant medicine into modern culinary experiences. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the show. You're known as the Herbal Chef. Tell us a little bit why.
Well, I created The Herbal Chef basically to tell the story of what I found out during my studies. I really love food. Food has been about my entire life. And, you know, coming from a Middle Eastern background, that's really how everybody connects is, you know, you have a big giant spread of food for the family. And I really loved that about my life. And I really love that about my ancestry. And when I went to college, I started to try to better understand some plant medicines, including cannabis. And that then led into this incredible opportunity where I was uncovering massive amounts of information that I didn't know before regarding cannabis. And I started to study it against the essentially the, you know, how it interacted with the body. And I was like, okay, if I'm going to use this, if I'm going to use cannabis, then I want to know exactly what's happening to my body. That then led to an incredible amount of work that I had to do, and thus the Herbal Chef was created to really start something completely brand new at the time.
What are top one or two things that you've seen the effects of using cannabis and food benefit materially people? What have you seen?
What I've seen with cannabis and what I started with the Herbal Chef was I wanted a way to destigmatize plant medicines, because from what I read up on and what I studied, there were so many benefits to cannabis that were not being talked about. And we were being sold this narrative of essentially reefer madness, that all of this was terrible for the human body, which objectively just is not backed by any science. There is an incredible amount of medicinal benefit for cannabis happening that people are talking about all over the world to their friends and family. And then in clinical trials, it's being shown, but then we were being fed the opposite via the Reefer Madness campaign since the early 1900s. So when I work with patients, I am seeing the very end of the spectrum where people are very, very sick and they're having incredible, realizations and medical breakthroughs and all sorts of pain relief and just relief in general that they're experiencing because of cannabis. And I realized that if I was so passionate about this and I saw it so much and so prevalent that I had to tell the story.
I always used to think, I'm like, okay, for some reason alcohol is legal. They tried to, right, 100 years ago, you know, they had all the bootlegging. They tried to make it illegal, but people pushed back and it became legal. But there are major effects to drinking too much alcohol. The same thing, I assume, with, you know, using too much cannabis. But everything in moderation. Like, I always thought to myself, I'm like, why should one be legal and one be illegal? You know, it's adults making choices and everything in moderation. And I have heard, and we're seeing that now in the U.S., right? Many states legalizing cannabis. I know, obviously, there's, and maybe you could explain a little bit about that, the difference between THC and CBD. Because I use CBD cream when I have pain in some of my joints, and it's amazing. So maybe just touch on the difference of that, the two.
You know, well, first off, a lot of people see cannabis very myopically. And I have to note that cannabis is one part of an entire of the whole. Cannabis is a small part of your health, and if you use it properly and with respect, it can bring so much to your life in terms of healing. And if you abuse it, just like anything else, it's going to deteriorate parts of your life, just like anything else, including overeating, including stress, including alcohol, etc. So I really stress the fact that cannabis is just a part of this wonderful way to heal the body. And the main section of really healing is through what you put into your body, what you eat. And with cannabis, the difference between CBD and THC, the very basic premise of the difference is that CBD is non-psychoactive while THC is psychoactive. Both of them have healing properties and both of them have wonderful ability to curb, you know, arthritis and to curb many different ailments in the body. But I would say those are the biggest differences in both of them. And they are supposed to be used in tandem with each other.
So that's really fascinating. I want to just go back for a second. When did you first fall in love with food and the relationship with food as the effects that it has on the human?
Man, my family, so I'm Middle Eastern. I was born in New York, but both my parents are, my biological parents are Jordanian and from the Middle East. And then they both remarried Italians. Wow. So I have this very, very rich food culture in my family. And I, ever since I could remember, I was always, you know, the first one around the table, always trying to eat whatever my jidde or my nana was preparing. It's just, you know, it became part of my life. When I went to college and I didn't have that, I realized that I couldn't live without it. I couldn't live without good food.
I definitely relate to that in a deep way. I come from New York, right? New York, but everything's sweet or bland. And I married my wife and my father-in-law from Uzbekistan and my mother-in-law from Georgia, the country. And so specific, the tastes and the flavors, that when I go back to my house, I just can't eat the food. So sorry, family.
I mean, it's just night and day. Yeah. It's night and day when you have good food. And so I went to college and I'm eating this bland, awful food. And, I was like, you know what? This isn't going to work for me. It's not going to work. And I realized I was on the path to go become a medical doctor. And I realized that I wanted to be in preventative health, which was, and always has been, and still is, food that you put into your body, which is why it's so infinitesimally important that we eat the right things, and not necessarily the right things as in like you have to have this amount of kale every day and this amount of, but the right things as in things that are not don't have pesticides in it. Yeah. And heavy metals, things that are whole foods, meaning that they come from the dirt, they come from the ground, they are grown on our trees, they are grown in our dirt. And things that nourish the body, which many things can be nourishing. And, you know, even the sweet stuff that I personally love and have a massive sweet tooth can be done in moderation versus, you know, something that is a constant in one's life. So, but those are the things that I really try and harp on now.
I definitely agree with that. So in my home, it's basically... you have the ingredients, and if you don't know what one of those ingredients is, it really shouldn't be there. In our business, actually, our foundation, we have something called neighborhood farms. So what we're doing is we're in real estate, and we have these kind of garden style apartments, and in the kind of common area, we've planted fruits and vegetables that the tenants can help with the landscapers to go ahead and then reap the harvest and use it for their cooking. And it's the most, you see the smiles on the kids.
Amazing.
It's really, really special. You know, I guess we have, here in Florida, we have about 300 out of 365 sunny days. So we're lucky. We just, you know, put some seeds in the ground and watching that is really special. I also know.
Similar to California. Right,
yes, also in California. I also know, and again, being a foodie myself, you did have the chance to work with Michelin-starred chefs. How was that experience for you?
It was incredible. I mean, there was a lot of good and there was a lot of bad. And I am just deeply grateful for the skills, for the experience that I had at these establishments. And I've worked at multiple 2-Michelin-star and a couple 3-Michelin-star as well. And then I've worked at, you know, some stuff in between. But really those were the defining characteristics that I took from the culinary world and the practices that I now use in our company. And we basically, you know, now employ chefs that are at that level, like our incredible corporate chef, Jared Ventura, our, you know, Alex Lotero out of Florida. Like many of the chefs that we work with now have an incredible capacity and technique. And that is ultimately like what this is about. I didn't want to create anything that was sort of a gimmick or had, you know, wasn't going to be respected, because I already had an uphill battle trying to show people that there was this whole world of cannabis that they had completely been lied to about and completely missed beforehand. So I already had that uphill battle, and add on the professional culinary world to it. They, you know, for the beginning of my career, I was laughed at and mocked quite a bit. And then it wasn't until, you know, I really started to make a big splash and the food was consistent and the food was consistently really, really good, that people were like, oh, wait a minute, there's something going on over here. And then that led to, you know, it being covered by LA Times and then New York Times and then Reuters and Fox News and CNN and AFP. And, you know, literally it went around the world, like on the front page of Japan Today and just everywhere. And so I really started to build a reputation for having something truly unique that was not only backed by science, but backed by a true hardened culinary experience.
And I know also you got to cook for a lot of A-list celebrities. Any cool stories there?
Man, I mean, there's a lot. But, you know, one of the most humbling experiences, I would say, so, you know, Juicy J, he is part of 3-6, he was part of 3-6 Mafia. And I always listened to 3-6 Mafia growing up. But Billboard basically was like, hey, we want to put you and Juicy J on the cover of Billboard. And, you know, have you cook a few dishes and we'll do a photo shoot and all that stuff. And I was like, okay. And at this time, I was like just beginning to make a little bit of money, like a little bit of money. You know, when you get all this, when you get one of the hardest things as an entrepreneur to do is actually make a profit and to learn how to monetize whatever you're doing on a bigger scale. So I had like just moved into this little apartment and I literally had no furniture. The photo shoot is hilarious. You can literally look at it on Billboard right now, but we're like plating on top of a plastic table and there's nothing on the walls and it's just me and this kitchen that I like just put my stuff in. And I got a couch like literally, you know, 4 hours before they came over. And he came over with like 6 bodyguards and all of them are massive. And then the Billboard crew. And so there's like 12 people in my little tiny apartment, and I go to shake his hand and I just hear the because he had like I don't know several gold rings on his finger, and I don't wear rings, I don't wear gold rings, I don't know the etiquette for, you know, shaking somebody's hand with massive rings on it. And I just crunched all of his gold together as I shook his hand. But he was literally the most humble, quiet, kind guy. He was very respectful. Yeah. We sat down on the couch, had conversations for hours.
And by the way, on the point, I've noticed the greatest people I'll ever meet, there is an internal way about them of a tremendous humility. Greater than themselves. The people that have been around a long time, there's a wisdom to them. And it's always...
Oh, yeah. And you would hope that there is, because, you know, showing off all the time is not sustainable.
Yeah. Yeah. And then on the, you know, Elon Musk has a great line about startups. You know, it's a little bit extreme. He's like, it's like eating glass. Like, you know, it's like, because I could picture you in your new little apartment, the juxtaposition of these two worlds colliding. You're just doing everything you can. Who knows, maybe living out of your car, right? You get this little apartment and then you're on the cover of Billboard, right? It's, but that's how it's done, by the way. Just so the audience knows that. That's how it's done, right?
Yeah, and, it is. I've never heard of another way.
Right. And I also know you do a secret supper club as well.
Yeah, we have a bunch of cool things that kind of popped up over the past year, which, you know, was daunting in the beginning because we lost a ton of business in our private dining. But then all of a sudden, everything just ramped up and it, more so than ever before. So I started Secret Supper Club as sort of a protest, an outdoor protest. And we have 10 seats. And all of a sudden, we just like started to have these incredible people come. We had Sherbinsky come, who's a massive cultivator in Los Angeles in California. We had Biggs Burke come and Bren Colleen, who's an author. Biggs Burke is, you know, part of Rock Nation. And then all of a sudden we had like St. John coming, and then Damson Idris, and then Chuck Liddell, and then like Leona Liu. And all of a sudden all these celebrities started to come, and it just turned into this really cool social club that we're really proud to have, and also just having, you know, a really great social network where people can feel free to express themselves and eat amazing food. Because for a long time, you know, a lot of our friends and colleagues lost their restaurants and that they worked really, really hard for. So we wanted to do something that was honoring them.
That's
right. And cook badass food. And it turned out to be an amazing concept, and people are really loving it. And it led to now like the opening of, you know, Nostalgia, which is our bar and lounge in Santa Monica. And we're basically keeping this concept afloat and moving to hotels and some other locations.
That's really amazing. I just want to, just for the audience, I know we're coming upon holiday season soon, Thanksgiving coming upon us. What would be kind of tips? You know, you want to enjoy all the good food, but maybe from your experience, maybe a couple of tips that they can enjoy the food, but yet, you know, watch their waistline, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one. it's a tough ask to really indulge and to also, you know, not pack on anything. But there is a couple things that you can do. One is, and I know this is a very, very difficult one, but is portion control. Meaning that you can have all the pie, like you can try all the pies, you can try all the food, you can do all that stuff, but just have a little bit. And I know that's, especially for me, it's very difficult. The other way is a bit more, you know, less traditional, but it's definitely helped me out quite a bit, actually. And I actually ended up creating a 50 recipes using no sugar, no gluten, and no refined sugar and no gluten, and basically just really delicious organic ingredients for things. And I would suggest that using sugar alternatives, because sugar is a very, very big cause of water retention and inflammation and other things that cause your body to basically not be able to digest properly. So I would say maple syrup is your friend, and yeah, you can use that in a lot of recipes to interchange the sugar. And that is going to be a huge, huge tip for people this holiday season, using things like maple syrup, using things like agave, using things like honey, natural, non-refined sugars that are going to give you a ton of, you know, delicious bites, but also are not going to be as difficult to digest and therefore not stay in your body in the way that a processed or refined product would.
Well, Chris, I definitely have learned a lot, and it seems that the audience has as well. What are some ways that people can learn more about you?
One, I just wanted to say thank you so much for having me on the show. It's a real pleasure to meet you and have these conversations. And I appreciate you, you know, opening the minds of your viewers on this particular subject, because it is one that I am passionate about and one that has gotten a bad rap for many, many years of our waking life. And I would say that, the best way to stay up to date with what we have going on is Instagram and our website, theherbalchef.com. And Instagram is The Herbal Chef. So you can't miss it. It's the one and only. It's really, you know, where we post a lot of our stuff, and we're very visually stimulating, because a lot of our food is, you know, we eat with our eyes first. So that's the best way to keep up with anything that we have going on.
Well, thank you so much, Chris. It's really been informative and great. Thank you. Good luck with everything. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to the Common Denominator podcast. Join us next week for another inspiring, impactful, and empowering conversation. To learn more about Moshe, head to moshepopak.com. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to share it. And we'd be grateful if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the show.